Hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Benjamin Nyland from Sheergate, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Jeff Teper, president of Microsoft. Thanks for joining.
Benjamin, it's great to be here with you.
Thank you. And wow, what a day. Today we were at the conference, at the keynote, and I have to say, I'm impressed from a product perspective, at the very least, we're a product company, to see the strategy, the execution, the leadership, the innovation happening in the space. And I know it's not just you, it's Microsoft, it's everyone in the teams working very hard, but what a series of announcements today.
We love to do this, is, you know, the thing feeds on itself, that we have this incredible community that's been so passionate about their feedback, about the bet they've made on us. And so every time we come meet at an event like this, we get inspired. How do we take it to the next level? We owe it to them. And so with everything that's going on with AI over the last, you know, 6-9 months, we've really been dialing it up. And so we've been waiting for the last, I'd say, a couple months to come here and see what everybody thinks.
Well, I was thrilled to be able to, and AI is definitely one of the items I'd love to talk to you a little bit about. But before we go into AI, can we go back a couple of years, maybe a lot of years? I know that many times you're referred to as the father of SharePoint. You've mentioned it today as well. Can you bring me back or bring us back just for maybe a few minutes to where did it all start? I heard about something called Tahoe. Where did all that, what was your vision of SharePoint? And did you imagine that today you'd be presenting the things you were presenting today on the SharePoint platform?
Yeah. So if we go all the way back, 1997, 98, we had a product called Site Server. It was a bit of a toolkit for websites. It wasn't a very good product. we got a lot of things wrong, so we started over. I took a portion of the team, and we created a group called PKM, Publishing and Knowledge Management. Our code name for our first product was going to be called Tahoe. And the idea was that we would kind of give Office a server and do what Office did and bring document management, collaboration, search, portals all together in an integrated suite package. The sort of formula had been laid. And we shipped the first version in 2001. There were actually two different projects. One evolved out of FrontPage, one that evolved out of our team. We decided to call them both SharePoint fairly late in the games because we thought, okay, over the long run, what we want to do is have a team collaboration-based version and then a portal version that connected to them. And so we released those. They did reasonably well for V1. At that point, something called ASP.NET was coming out, Scott Guthrie, you know, and all that. So immediately we turned around and rewrote both those aligned in on ASP.NET. And that was SharePoint 2003, and the rest is kind of history. It was a rocket ship after
and
that.
And today, I mean, I know we're going to be speaking about Teams, but SharePoint is connected to Teams as well. And today, 300 million people a month are active in the products that you build. Yeah. And I know I went to Teams from SharePoint, and SharePoint's a whole other, but that's incredible. I think another stats you share was, and I don't want to be wrong on this, can you tell me how many petabytes?
Yeah, so net, our customers are adding 200 petabytes of new content, net new content every month to SharePoint. Last year I announced it was 150, the year before is 100. So the SharePoint's not only growing, but it's growing at a faster and faster rate. It was 100 two years ago, 200 now. And so,
congratulations.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah, no, and thank everybody in the community because, you know, it's clear people are doubling down on their bets on SharePoint Teams and more.
Absolutely. And what you've announced or what the entire team announced today is another layer of where we can go with that platform. I mean, the UX overhaul, the experiences that SharePoint delivers today or that will deliver OneDrive and what we saw there, the emphasis on delivering value directly to customer quickly, integrations with forms for Microsoft List. So based on all that is announced recently, and I know there's different layers. We talked about Microsoft 365 Copilot. We discussed about the entire change of UX to SharePoint, look and feel. And there's so many that I can't start to list at the moment. And definitely go and follow the announcements that were made. But What would you say, based on the customer feedback that you've listened to, that you've seen, based on the direction that you see the market going as well, what do you think will have the largest impact on customers in the coming years?
Yeah. You know, the thing we talk about a lot in the team is you have to do both things. Both, you have to have great fundamentals, performance, reliability, and simplicity, and you have new innovation. The fundamentals are there because people depend on the product just working every day, and it's what, frankly, earns you the right to deliver more value to customers. But the innovation is really key because people want new breakthroughs in how they work. There's other things in the market and so forth. So honestly, I love the things we did around fundamentals. Mm. You know, the new teams being twice as fast, the new SharePoint UI allowing you to build gorgeous sites, the new OneDrive user experience, the level of craft and polish in that, simplicity and sharing and so forth. So I don't want to jump too fast to AI. The answer is going to be the AI work, because I think we have to stop and pause and reinforce our commitment to simplicity, performance, reliability across, you know, these apps that have hundreds of millions of users, Teams, OneDrive, SharePoint. People bet on them, and I'm really proud of the work that we did to make them simpler, faster, and so forth. But then, you know, if we talk about measurable improvements to people's productivity, their job satisfaction, the quality of their work, organization's effectiveness, it's going to be AI. You know, mm-hmm. The quote we had, you know, the Copilot that's out the longest that I highlighted is GitHub Copilot, yeah. Where 88% of the developers say it's super valuable to them and it's contributing half the code. That is really a breakthrough in productivity that's often hard to measure in productivity tools. And so we're bringing that same kind of leap, yeah, to what we're doing with creativity and collaboration. So it will be, when people write the recap of this 3, 5, 10 years, it will be the AI. But while we're wallowing in the moment, I would say the craft in the UI for Teams, OneDrive, and SharePoint, I'm really proud about as well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree in the sense that often we're at the edge, we're looking to push, innovate, and Microsoft is doing that very well, yeah, showing us the way. But at the end of the day, we often see that, you know, we still have many organizations sometimes still struggling with figuring out the right Excel formulas.
Yeah.
And we got to bring them along to that, you know, new world that we're seeing and that direction that it could be taking. And all these little changes that you are continuing to enforce and improve in SharePoint, in Microsoft Teams, really will help drive that change. And I think why you have that growth rate in monthly active, yeah, users, and which is really the outcome, yeah, that we want to see.
Yeah. The other thing that's just fun about these events, and you know, I love what you guys have published in your blogs at SharePoint and your take and other MVPs is, you know, it's fun to exceed people's expectations every now and then. We've been at this a while, so people expect us to do some of these things. And so we definitely came here thinking, you know, whether it's the UI of SharePoint or the work with Copilot, how do we surprise and delight people? Because that's what builds trust, that people know that we don't take for granted. Just, you know, we've been successful. You know, customers have chosen to go to the, with the cloud with us. That wasn't always easy for their organizations.
Yeah,
that was big change management. And so we want to make sure that people continue to say, yeah, our investment in Microsoft is a good one. They are not resting on their laurels. They're coming back and exceeding our expectations. So I hope, you know, that was a theme of the
absolutely
day.
I think from the outside for us, they're not in Microsoft, but definitely building on top or customers, it really shows, and we can see that you're paving the way to innovation and moving forward. But more importantly, I'm glad that it's you leading this AI, yeah, charge.
Us, Microsoft, yeah.
Yes, that's, yeah, what I mean. You and Microsoft, because the platform, the cloud, is one that we have built trust on, right?
That's, yeah, that word you said is really key. I had a senior leader join our team. He runs Teams product management, Monik Gupta. He came to us. He worked at a couple other places in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. And he's sort of really super capable guy. And he pushed me and he said, what's Microsoft's one durable, you know, differentiator? What's like the one thing? And he asked both me and Rajesh Shah, and we both said trust.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you kind of want to say innovation, and we are, you know, I think we've been innovating a lot, But in the end, I think the thing that customers tell us is that the work we've done over the last 10, 15 years in our transition to the cloud has been with a huge focus on trust. It's their data. We put security paramount. And the trust that we've earned in the shift to the cloud, we want to bring forward to the AI area. It's same thing. They can trust us to execute their models on their data in isolation of everything else.
I couldn't have said better. It's really the trust that allows us to leap forward and jump into trying it out, because we know it's going to be secure. Yeah. We know that our privacy will be protected. So when I'm thinking of all this happening, right, we have a lot of talk around AI, GPT, but there's also the current market context, the economy, which shifted a lot of companies' investments. And I really want to be acknowledge that there is something happening for many organizations. And when we're looking at the Microsoft, I want to say Microsoft Cloud, but I'm really specifically speaking about Microsoft 365 and everything around it. Of course, Azure is included in this, but specifically around productivity, we hear, or at least customers are talking more and more around doing more with less, the traditional sentence, or how do we automate? How do we improve the way we work? And how do you see the changes happening, the value you're bringing with Microsoft Loop, with Viva, with Teams Premium? How do you see this helping customers that are currently in that context?
There was a phase of bringing the capabilities that customers had to the cloud. Basic document collaboration, intranets, email, chat, et cetera. And sort of, they weren't so much a shift in the workflow and paradigm. But then when the pandemic hit, and we were already, Teams was our first sort of major shift in the UI model in a while, which is, can we get people to work in a tool with blends synchronous and asynchronous communication, new way, work in channels that are sort of open. Channel can have a meeting, so if you need a meeting, you can have that. But the chat and all that, the artifacts are associated and, all searchable and findable in one place. But then we continued to think about what are the unmet needs by customer, product management and tech 101. Yeah. What are the unmet needs? What are the new technologies that you can use to address them? And how do you bring customers forward from what they're doing today? And so we saw that there was definitely a need for more fluid, friction-free collaboration. And so Loop, the sort of underpinnings of Loop is something called the Fluid Framework, where we saw people were bouncing around in email and documents and chats, and we said, gosh, if these components like what's the marketing budget or what's the issues list were just shareable across documents and conversations wherever they lived, there'd be one version of the truth. People would be able to co-author inside and outside meetings, chats, emails, and so forth. And so there really wasn't another tool or technology inside and outside Microsoft that did that. And so we decided we needed to invent a new concept called Loop Components and Loop Documents, build them on SharePoint, integrate them in Teams. And it's taken a while for people to see it, but now the light bulb's going on. Like even in my own LT meeting, we work on the agenda is a Loop document. And whether you're in email or in chat, it's the same agenda. So I think that's, one big breakthrough that, wasn't met by any other previous technology. We looked at other things other people done, we'd done, Google's done, and we did something that was fundamentally different than anybody else in the market. The other example you mentioned was Viva. We had a bunch of different projects for new features and things going on inside Microsoft. And Satya came back during the, it was sort of midway through the pandemic, after we'd gotten through the phase of, hey, let's get everybody okay running online meetings in the cloud. That was definitely preoccupation for the first 6 months. I said, as these companies give their employees the flexibility about where they work, they're really even more worried about engaging those employees and the competition for talent. And so isn't there some theme about how we could move up in our product line and in our partner ecosystems like you all to offer tools to help people's growth and performance? And so some things we built, like Viva Topics, some things we acquired or integrated, like the Glint technology for employee feedback. We brought in Viva Insights that had previously been workplace analytics. We bought a company that had done OKRs called Ally that's now Viva Goals. And, you know, this idea has really resonated that how can you help your employees and teams grow their careers and their performance? And, you know, things like, you know, we saw an obvious linkage in what we've done with Yammer. And so bringing Yammer into that family as Viva Engage, you know, everybody, you know, when we rename things, it's always a little bit of a, but I think the message really resonates that on top of base collaboration is employee experience tools that helps take the performance of people and teams to the next level. And so that's the concept of Viva. And it's really, you know, going back to product management 101, what is the unmet need? The unmet need was companies and individuals wanted to elevate their performance.
Yeah, and I really bring it up because when I'm looking at the entirety of Microsoft 365, when companies are looking, and in the past, they may have also other third-party tools or vendors, and now they really need to look into what brings me the most value for my investment. And when we're looking at a platform like Microsoft 365 that is really driving in trust, in innovation, bringing more and more productivity, and now with AI allowing the or empowering each individual worker to really save their time, automate more, to me is really a no-brainer right now. And I talk, you know, I was bringing up Teams Premium as well, because at first you may be looking at it and saying, okay, well, Teams Premium, I'll have to look at it. But the value add that it brings, the amount of saved time working in loop, you brought two paradigm shifts this morning that I was really happy to see put into simple two words.
Yeah.
Everything ones? Going on right now that wants and needs us to change. The, I believe, flow of work.
Flexible work, yeah.
And really AI.
Yeah.
And this combination of these two big shifts happening in the market and the current context of the market really makes it, for me, and I know I'm maybe a little biased because we're built on top of Microsoft 365 as well, but we're seeing this as ShareGate does migration, as you know, and we see companies looking to migrate off these other platforms a lot more than we did in the past, because now you can't have Slack, for example, and Microsoft Teams when Teams brings you so much value.
Yeah, I mean, we try to be both ambitious but also humble about this, that we know customers have a lot of choices and they will continue to have new choices. New things will get created and so forth. And so we have to deliver the best value. And if I look at what, you know, the passion we've had in the Teams team around the experience there with meetings and chats and so forth, we've worked super hard.
Yeah.
400 plus features last year. And so we are going to continue to push the envelope, because if we don't, somebody else will with AI, something like Loop. Teams Premium is another good example. I think, you know, we could talk about Teams Premium a lot. But the other thing is people need a business case. And if you tried to cobble together all the things we put in Microsoft 365, you'd spend a lot more money. And so, you know, there's a very shorthand version of this when I talk to a CIO is, you know, we want to give you a common platform for how people work together better so that you can reach your full potential on how people collaborate. And that's really where the ROI is. But because you're going to be able to consolidate some of your spend on some of the collaboration tools and security, you're going to save 60%, which, guess what? You need to invest in your people, in AI, to reach the next level that's coming in the next 3, 5, 10 years. For a company to say, we're going to step back and not invest in AI right now is just not going to work. Yeah. Every industry and how people work is going to be influenced by AI. So we want to give people an economic proposition to not just be more productive, but be able to invest back in their technology.
Mm. Well said. And touching on AI, we touched base with some of our customers before our chat today.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had some questions that came up.
Good. Fire away.
And one of them was security related to really AI is still, we saw GPT go really, really skyrocket, or ChatGPT specifically, but just the general knowledge of GPT and what it can bring to organizations, and with it, many concerns. And so I know you've brought, or you've announced, Microsoft 365 Copilot, and some of the questions that were very specific to, will the data that they enter in the prompts about their own personal or their organizations be used to train the models that could show up in other customers, for example?
Yeah, no, this is, I mean, this is something we've understood for a long time in the Microsoft Graph, in Microsoft Search, that the content that is used to create the intelligent index, if you, and there's many different types of indexes, as well as the search terms, are proprietary sensitive data that's owned by the company. It shouldn't be used to train anything else. We should not be able to see it. So we can't look at your prompts, and it is not used to train back. We will have, I think in time, some customers, and we've had some who've said, we want to work with you to make the model better for our models for specific domains. So I was talking to a pharmaceutical company 2 weeks ago, and while we said, no, we don't do any of this, they said, you know, we might be willing to work with you. Our language, terminology, and pharmaceutical is complicated enough. In Microsoft, we trust you that we'd be willing to work with you and other pharmaceutical companies to advance the state of the model so they're better for us. And we know that would mean working with other similar companies. So there, I think there in time will be things, but the default is a hard no. And if we work across organizations, we will be very public and transparent about how and when we do that.
And I think in your conversation this morning with Rajesh Jha, was unleash the creativity.
Yeah.
Was kind of the quote that I took back from that is, unleash creativity. Don't try and enforce or block every or control AI in your organization right from the start. Rather, learn with it and kind of adopt it in your organization.
Yeah.
And allow your organization to move with it.
In order to do that, people need to be very confident that we won't use your data or your prompts to train the model, that the language model is grounded not on the public internet corpus, but it's grounded on the data for your organization in the graph. And that grounding includes the security permissions and the policies. So if you don't want certain types of content seen by anybody in responses to AI, or you want to make sure that Copilot, when it's chatting with Benjamin, when it's conversing with you, you will only get content responses back that is based on grounding on content that you had the rights to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we get a lot of questions on that. We've written it down, and certainly we welcome feedback because, you know, we want to make sure that we're 100% transparent. But I think, you know, prompts, model building, graph security, policies, you know, AI respects all that.
As soon as I saw the question, my immediate thought was,
where's the opportunity for Sergey?
No.
To help give transparency on who can see what.
Will help. No.
Yeah.
My immediate thought was, I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
But I trust that you're not, but there's an automatic trust that's been built on the platform that when I saw Microsoft 365 Pilot, for example, it never even dawned on me. It went straight into value. How can we leverage it? And I trust that Microsoft 365 will keep all.
I mean,
of
that's
data
our that's our brand. You know,
yeah.
People only choose Azure and Microsoft 365 Power Platform because they trust us to not do those things, and they know our brand, our reputation, our business model absolutely depends on it, and so. That said, we deserve all the scrutiny that people would appropriately give us. You know, the number of certifications we get, the, you know, the details that we provide on how we do these things. So, we love the questions.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to, a similar question, I'm grouping them a little bit together because I got a number of questions and I understand. So is what does that mean for people and their jobs? And it came specifically, I believe, and at least my audience was mainly IT, but I think this is a more broader question is, should people be worried? What does it mean? And, you know, I guess I was wondering what are your thoughts on it?
It's a great question. Let's talk about that one. It's probably the most important question. And if you think about the paradigm shift outline we described this morning, shift to cloud, shift to AI, we sort of can learn from the cloud journey. You know, it'd be overly simplistic to say, it's all going to be fine. It's all just going to improve productivity and everybody will be fine. It won't just improve everybody's productivity. There'll be some disruption. And we can go back to the case study in the cloud and see what happened. And Rajesh and I talked a little bit about this, that 10, 15 years ago, there was a lot of IT people who were deploying and upgrading Exchange and SharePoint servers and patching them and so forth. And a lot of IT investment went there. And when we did the shift to the cloud, there was many good concerns about how's the security work and so forth. But one of the concerns was for the IT admins, were they going to lose their job? Mm. And people, if their job was defined solely as patching Exchange servers, were going to lose their job if that was the only value they could provide. But it was crazy that all these companies were spending all this money for all these servers around the world that were underutilized. And they were all independently patching them through manual processes that were error-prone and expensive. There was all this economic waste. I mean, that's the fundamental driver to the cloud, is to get rid of this duplication and low utilization and turn that value back to customers as well as run a better service. And so many, many enlightened organizations saw the opportunity to have their IT teams shift away from things like patching Exchange servers and upgrading SharePoint and into way more valuable and, you know, a growing set of IT spend around, gosh, how can we use this technology to evangelize new ways of work to our employees, build new applications, communicate out to our customers and partners? And we saw that IT, enlightened IT leaders and enlightened IT professionals who saw the sea change coming and invested. And, you know, I think we were very upfront. We weren't hiding this. Like, look, you've got to move up the value chain of skills and, you know, things will be even more fun and engaging. You know, that went well in many places. But there were people that in organizations that didn't make that investment in sea change. And so I look about what's happening in AI is similar things, that there's going to be some workflows that are going to be automated away. I mean, effectively, collaboration tools have been doing that for decades. But, oh my God, think about all the work, all the creativity, all the customer engagement, all the product ideation that can now happen because we're doing some automation of some basic stuff, and that your creativity is unleashed with these tools. You know, that's very exciting, but we can't be flippant about it because that's not, you know, getting from here to there is not trivial. And so people and organizations and Microsoft and governments are going to help to invest in transforming people's skills. But overall, I'm, you know, just as I was like when I was a 19-year-old writing software for the first time because I'd figured out how to program on a PC and it unlocked my career creativity is like a teenager. I think there's going to be a lot of unlocks from people looking at AI and figuring out amazing new things they can do with it. And so I hope that's broadly accessible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we look at everything that is changing, it's embracing it. Again, we'll go back into unleashing creativity quote, is run with it. And just make sure that you can navigate around it, but to block it or to not try to embrace it today will for sure make
it's going to be, I mean, you have to understand change management and do it well. We don't want to trivialize that. But at the same time, if you're not embracing the change in a responsible way, your organization is not going to be effective. And it will be, frankly, very hard to keep your people. People will want to work in a modern organization with, you know, progressive views on how to use technology to empower them And help them grow their career as well as impact the business.
And sometimes, we're using the word AI, and that could be scary, and that's why I really love the Copilot brand.
If
I can call it a brand, it's help you drive in your productivity in a day-to-day basis. And the example shown today was saving time building my Excel graphs, right? It allowed me to ask a couple of questions with data that I already own and build a summary with graphs.
Yeah, think about all the questions. It's remarkable what Excel can do, but think about all the questions you don't ask because you say, man, probably take me an hour to build that model in Excel.
Or ask that one person.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got that time today. And you can say, just go extract the data from the graph, take a first pass at the model, then I'll clean it up. And now I can answer all these questions that I would have punted on before.
So let me ask you this, and as we close our wonderful chat, thanks again for joining. I'm really curious around what do you think IT can do to prepare their organization for what's to come? And let me be a little bit more specific around that is, there's more and more content being created in the organization, whether it's manually, but it could be, we're trying to frictionless collaboration, right? And so more and more is created, more and more is shared. Now we have Microsoft 365 Copilot, AI opportunities allowing us to grow. With what you see in the market in the coming months, years, and what's happening, how can an IT person in their organization do to prepare their organization for that growth, for that change? What would be your recommendation to them leaving this chat?
Yeah, I would say three things. First, get your base platform, if you've not done it already, in order. And, of course, I can speak to our tool set. There's other tool sets. But, give everybody in the cloud with Exchange, with OneDrive, evangelize the use of Teams, the role of channels over, more closed email, and just, get the data migrated over if it's not already migrated. Make sure your security policies, whatever appropriate for your organization, are well articulated and implemented and monitored. And so get that base healthy. The second thing is make sure people are writing down very simply and clearly how they're going to work in a new way. We have something called the Microsoft Adoption Center, which I think is a great resource people should read. But I think perhaps the biggest thing I evangelize to companies is whatever their work group is, your sales teams, your marketing teams, your R&D teams, just having a few people from that team get together for a few hours and write down. We do this in my team every year. We revisit it. Write down the one or two pager that's how we work. How many meetings we're going to have, so it's not too many meetings. What are the documents that we need to write? What's overhead, what's not? And sort of it's the Goldilocks school of organization. And because otherwise collaboration is a little bit of the tragedy of the commons. A bunch of well-intended things grow up, and pretty soon your schedule is all full of meetings. And you could blame Teams or any of our competitors. But I think the right thing to do is just encourage people to write down, and every company work group's different, how they're going to work in whatever for them is a modern way. And then third, it is really important to get ahead of this AI thing. And it's overwhelming because it's changing every day. This week, more people are learning about LangChain and vector databases. And it's like, wait, I just heard LLM. What's LangChain? What's a vector database? And what are embeddings? And people's heads are. What I would do is find a few people in your organization who are sort of motivated to be on the front edge of this and have them do brown bags of what is this technology, how it could be used for us. Maybe organize hackathons to have, we do them, I think, three times a year, sometimes four in our teams where, we take a few days and sort of people build things and educate each other. And so I would say those are the three things. Get your base platform in order. Hopefully we can help with that. Encourage your teams to write down in an intentional but simple, fast way how they're going to work. And then third is just, get a working group to educate your organization on where AI is going and brainstorm how it could help them.
Wow. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Sure.
Really appreciate the chat over where things are going. We're very excited to have seen everything that is coming out from your teams. And I say this, Microsoft 365 and everyone working in there. It's been a lot of innovation, both on the AI front, but also little things like the favorites of my files, UI changes. So we're all very excited. And we're looking forward to what's coming up next in the next year.
Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you for all your support, all the great partnership we've had with ShareGate. And we're excited to see how this not only helps our customers, but helps our partners too.
Thank you.